Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We'll begin with a subject that gets a lot of attention at this time of year, abortion. For more than four decades, pro-life advocates have used the January anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court abortion ruling to demonstrate in Washington and elsewhere for their movement. The event last week drew thousands. Another demonstration is planned for Jefferson City this weekend. The recent national and Missouri elections are generally acknowledged as having given new momentum to the pro-life cause. Later this week, we'll discuss the pro-choice campaign, but today we'll be talking with Kathy Fork, an organizer for this weekend's Midwest March for Life in Jeff City. She joins us by phone. Chuck Raymond was a participant in the Washington March for Life as part of the St. Louis Archdiocesan Respect Life Apostolate. Reagan Barklage is the Western Regional Director of Students for Life of America. She was at both the March for Life and the earlier D.C. Women's March. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having us, Don.
Kathy, let me begin with you. Do you take any exception to what I said at the beginning, that there seems to be new momentum for your cause as a result of these recent elections?
Oh, I totally believe that. It's just amazing how the tide has just turned, and as Vice President Pence put it so eloquently, life is winning, and we're so happy to be a part of this.
What's it going to mean for your gathering here this weekend?
Well, we've had an awful lot of people contacting us about the march. There's just a lot of enthusiasm. People feel like, finally, the voice of those who are standing up for the unborn and for their mothers is being heard. And we look forward to having a very large crowd at the Midwest March for Life this Saturday, February 4th, with events starting at 8 o'clock in the morning and going all the way up until 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Chuck, this discussion has been going on for more than 40 years now.
Yes, it has.
And I just wonder if you have any feeling for how many opinions are changed as a result of demonstrations such as the one you attended and the one forthcoming.
Yeah, Don, I think the biggest benefit, certainly we are hoping to make an impact on our government officials, you know, who work there. But what is remarkable to me as well is how we encourage each other. Reagan saw a report that estimated, from USA Today, between 500 and 650,000 people from literally all over the country. And what I find is that we inspire each other. We encourage each other. It helps us to focus and recognize that our ultimate mission is to develop a broader culture of life, respecting the unborn child, and to have love and compassion for the mother.
Reagan, what did you take away from the most recent gathering, the one you attended, and the one that you attended the week earlier at the Women's March?
Well, there was quite a contrast between both of the marches. And, the Women's March, people were upset in regards to the election. And with the March for Life, people were just excited and full of anticipation, looking forward to what's to come. And, for once, we have an ally in the White House that's there to support us. And we have a ton of work to do, but we're super excited.
Is this an issue that young people are really interested in?
Oh, absolutely. At Students for Life, we have over 1,100 groups across the country, from middle schools all the way up to med and law schools. And it's just amazing to see, the momentum that comes from, demonstrations like the March for Life and the local Midwest March for Life. And it just really energizes students to continue that onto their campus and promote a culture of life, promote the alternatives, and expose the truth to abortion.
Kathy, there's no disputing the number of people who showed up in Washington, but I have to point out that the Pew Research people are reporting, and through their polling, that 59% of the American public are pro-choice. What do you make of that? Is that a number that you would dispute?
I would certainly dispute that. I think sometimes the way that the Pew Research is done is in the wording. So I would definitely say that most people are pro-life and feel that abortion should be limited at least in the first 3 months.
Chuck, do you want to take exception to that figure?
I would agree with what Kathy was saying. As we know from any kinds of polls and studies like that it's very sensitive to how the question's asked, who the question's asked to. Different studies show, the country certainly split and very divided. We see that now. But other, other studies and research show that the pro-life movement and those that believe that unborn children should be protected does continue to grow.
Reagan, do you have thoughts on that?
Yes. You know, according to polls, over half of millennials, so over 50% of millennials, believe abortion should be illegal in all or most cases. And that's because a fourth of us are gone because of abortion. Mm-hmm. A fourth of my generation is gone because of abortion.
And Kathy, if I understand this correctly, you almost were.
Yes, I almost was one of those statistics. The way that I found out about this is having a conversation with my father, who was in his 90s about 4 years ago, and he just told me how my mother would be so proud of me for what I was doing in the pro-life movement. And I said, thank you. And he says, you know, Kathy, you were almost aborted. And I was shocked, and it took me a few moments to recover, and he told me it's not what you thought. He said, When you were in your mother's womb, your mom knew she was pregnant. She'd been pregnant twice before. She went to the doctor because she was spotting. And when she got there, he told her that, no, Isabel, you're not really pregnant. I'm going to remove some tissue. And my mother said, no, I'm pregnant. And she left and got another doctor. And I was born 7 months later. My parents had the Rh factor. So I was born like 5 pounds and extremely jaundiced. But here I am. And I said to my dad, well, I'm just so glad that mom was so smart and knew what he meant. I knew she was an intelligent person. And he said, well, Kathy, the reason that she knew what he meant when he said remove tissue, when she was 16, she was sexually assaulted, became pregnant, and her parents forced her to have an abortion. And your mother never forgot that. It deeply affected her. She dropped out of school. She dropped out of church. And she never forgot that child. And so she knew what he meant about removing tissue. So I wondered often, many times, why I had such an empathy when I started this pro-life work, why I had such a connection, such empathy for the mothers and for the babies in the womb. And as it was revealed to me, my own mother had been in that situation, and I myself had been in the womb going to a place of care, expecting to be nurtured, and instead a doctor wanted to end my life. I know not why he wanted to do that. It could have been the Rh factor. It could have been because they already had two children. I don't know. But back in 1949, I almost didn't make it here.
Chuck, you also have a first person story to tell.
Yes, I do. Don, I have a great sensitivity to this issue. Unfortunately, when I was a teenager, 17 years old, my girlfriend and I discovered that she was pregnant. And things happened very quickly. And tragically, we were led to and chose an abortion. So I have a great real personal experience with the fact that, a pregnancy outside of a intention or, a family environment where you're, economically able to do that is a crisis. And it's a great tragedy, not the pregnancy is not the tragedy, but choosing abortion is. Yeah. And we've grieved with that, denied it, ignored it for many, many years. It's been 42 years now. And eventually we found, peace and healing. So yes, we have a very real sensitivity, to what that means when a woman finds herself in a pregnancy that she wasn't expecting.
Reagan, you had indicated earlier that that the millennial generation basically is against abortion under any circumstances. Did you mean that? I mean, would that be also include the health of the mother, for instance, or a baby that has been determined to be defective in some way?
Yeah, the polling says, over 50% of millennials believe it should be legal in all or most cases. And in regards to most cases, I'm sure that would exclude, rape and health of the mother.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, a lot of people, and I'm talking to you now, but I'm going to raise some of the issues they would raise because they're not here, would say that what is happening here is really, it's against women who are marginalized, women who are poor, women who really can't afford to bring a baby into the world, that's what this is largely all about. How do you answer that question? Some people actually believe that.
Well, you know, I have to think of the words of St. Mother Teresa, that it's a poverty that a child cannot be born because of income, because the parents cannot take care of it. And here in Missouri, we are so blessed because we have so many resources. And not only that, but we have something called the Alternatives to Abortion Funding, which has over $6 million, which is available for mothers. And this information is given out to women when they do come for a referral to an abortion. There is so much help out there. There are pregnancy resource centers. There are homes that will take a young mom in, not only a young mom who is pregnant with her first child, but a mother who also has other children in her care. The life-affirming community is out there to help any woman in any situation. And I would say there's nothing that we cannot do to help a person, especially if the issue is money. You know, it is a poverty that a child should die because of lack of funding, as Mother Teresa would say. So we are here to offer this help. I'm with something called the Sidewalk Advocates, and we are outside of the Columbia Planned Parenthood offering help to women. We still are, even though Columbia is not doing abortions, we still are there every day having people reach out to women. And just last week, we had a baby shower for a mom. She wasn't exactly young. She was in her 30s, who had four of the children. Her husband left her when she refused to have an abortion at 14 weeks. She reached out to us. She had seen us on the sidewalk, gotten information from us before, and she called me and she said, "Do you really help people? Can you help me?" And we said, "Yes, we can." We paid her rent. We paid her utilities. We got her back into school. She's studying to be a nurse. And as I said, we just had a baby shower for her. And Reagan has a good story that she can share about a student who was going to, was thinking about abortion because of, she was on a student scholarship. And Reagan, would you like to share that story?
Yes, we found out from a pregnancy center that there was a woman who was going to have an abortion because she would lose her scholarship. And fortunately, Title IX protects her. And that's just something that people need to be educated on. And, you know, it's such a shame that, you know, we're targeted. College-age students are targeted by the abortion industry. Over 79% of abortion facilities are located within 5 miles of a college campus. And society tells us, you know, you're not strong enough to be a mother and a student. You're going to be poor. You're going to be on food stamps. You're going to have all these other complications. And, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be struggles there, but we want to help you through that. And there's so many resources that can help you, and you are strong enough, and we're going to walk beside you.
Chuck, there are a number of people who look at this whole issue as less a political one than a religious one. What do you think?
Well, I believe it's really as simple as just believing in the science. I mean, the science is very straightforward. It doesn't have to be political or religious. That when, you know, a sperm and egg come together, there is a new baby biologically, you know, that has been formed. And so that's just fact. It's very easy to discover that. And so, you know, our mission is just to help educate that we have a unique, separate life that's actually has a heartbeat in 21 days. And so, you know, our belief is that that is as precious of a life as you or I or Kathy, and it should be protected.
Yeah. I have a note here, Reagan, concerning the polling information that you presented here. It says that you're referencing a poll that comes from the Institute for Pro-Life Advancement. This is concerning the millennials' position on this, which is an initiative of Students for Life in America. Is that true?
Yes. So we go to multiple different campuses and poll students. We go from a variety of public campuses to private campuses and poll students through, you know, all 4 years of their studies.
Should we assume, therefore, that poll is valid? It seems like it really represents the point of view of the people who are taking the poll.
Right. You know, because I'm out there on college campuses, and we're not targeting specifically pro-life people. But, I mean, if we're going to use your polls, you know, that say more millennials are pro-choice, then, I mean, I could say the same thing.
Yeah. Let's take a call or two as time will allow us. I want to bring in Scott calling from Chesterfield. Scott, thank you for being with us. You're on the air.
Yeah, Trump, he's praised Planned Parenthood, I think, at least twice. and I used to be very pro-choice. Do you trust him?
All right, let's ask Kathy to answer that question. Do you trust Donald Trump on the abortion question?
Yes, I do. I believe in the power of conversion. I've seen that happen in so many people, just like our caller said that he used to be pro-choice. And I truly believe that Donald Trump has had a conversion of heart and that he does respect human life. And I believe that he's going to do what he said. And we saw that when the very first day in office, he turned off the faucet for the Mexico City policy, which pays for abortions overseas.
Yeah,
go ahead, Chuck.
I would add that, as Kathy said, the power of conversion, we've all had conversions. I mentioned, mine in particular, that I think Donald Trump is learning, and he's on a journey, just like all of us are. He has, in the past mentioned, some of the good things that Planned Parenthood does. And there are some things that they do. But the fact is that a large chunk of their business is abortions. And so that's, I think that's the promise that he's beginning to fulfill, is to cut off abortions to women's care centers that are also aborting babies.
But if you defund Planned Parenthood, then you're also going to be prohibiting them from doing the other things for women's health, for instance, that they do.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood has a choice. Obviously, they could decide we're not going to do abortions anymore. And then they would be a women's care center, just like thousands and thousands of them that exist right now, in which the administration has indicated that all of that funding is not going to go away. It's going to be redirected to women's health centers that don't do abortions.
Yeah, there's over 13,000 federally qualified health centers that provide the same services and more comprehensive health care services to men, women, and children. You know, Planned Parenthood provides a short list of services, and there's less than 700 of them. So if we really care about women, we'd want them to have easy access to health care. And if there's 13,000 federally qualified health centers, women have easier access and can get more services. Planned Parenthood can't provide prenatal services to women. And so once she chooses, to parent her child, there's nothing else that Planned Parenthood can do for you.
So Kathy, it'd be okay with you if Planned Parenthood just went away?
I think that would be nice. I would prefer to send a woman, if I'm talking to a woman, I prefer to send her to a place, a federally qualified health care center that has a doctor. The only doctors that Planned Parenthood has are the ones who do abortions. They don't have doctors to see you for other things that a woman would need further care for. And all they are is kind of like the middleman. They're taking funds that could be used at these other federally qualified health care centers to give women real help and not have to go through the middleman where they say they do breast exams. That's something that a woman does herself every month. And they do the same thing there, and they say, oh, I feel a lump. You need to go someplace. Why not go to a place where they go, oh, I feel a lump. Let me get you into Dr. So-and-so right now. I have seen many women come crying out of Planned Parenthood because they discovered a lump. And sadly, they were not given a resource to go to, and we on the sidewalk were able to tell them, right here, right down the street, half a block away, you can go there, and they have a doctor. So I really don't feel that we need Planned Parenthood.
We have only limited time left, and I want to give you each chance to make a final case and make the point that you want to be sure that people take away from the discussion. Chuck, let me start with you. Can you give me 30 seconds worth of that?
Sure. Don, I appreciate that opportunity. Having experienced an abortion firsthand, I want to say that wound is forever. That the idea that destroying a woman's child is health care is a lie, that abortion is a lie. We have felt the pain of that wound. That child is lost forever. And so that is a education that we want to continue to share with others.
Reagan, in a few seconds.
Yes, absolutely. Women deserve better than abortion. Men deserve better than abortion. And we see how, men and women are traumatized from abortion. And we want to be able to offer them resources where, we can help them and, provide them with services that are going to protect them and their children forever. And I just want to say for anyone who feels alone in the pro-life fight, there are so many organizations that you can partner with and take a stand for life because now is the time to act.
And very quickly, Kathy, I know you want to promote your event this weekend. Can you do it in 15 seconds?
Yes, please come to the Midwest March for Life at the Missouri State Capitol in Jefferson City. And there you will hear from Dr. Vanson Wong, a former abortion provider, and he will speak exactly to this.
All right.
What
well,
we're talking about today, and also Ryan Baumberger, the Radiance Foundation.
Got to leave it right there. Sorry to have to interrupt, but time is getting away. Reagan Barklage, thank you. Kathy Fork, thank you. And Chuck Raymond, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.